All right. Yes, believing is definitely not strain and drain, like you guys who go to the gym and pop a blood vessel trying to lift a piece of metal. That's not believing. Believing is just like Andre said, simple. So I'm going to just share a little bit. I'm not going to teach, okay? I mentioned last night about a letter that I wrote, and I do want to share it with you, but before we do, I want you to go to Hebrews. Hebrews, chapter 4. This is, in our fellowship, Patty reminded me of this verse, and I wanted to share it with you because it's really appropriate here. Verse 2, Hebrews 4, 2, it says, "For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with what?
Believing
in them that heard it." This mixing with believing. You could come to this Believing Youth Advance and have no profit whatsoever from it if there's no believing. Yet you heard the same thing someone else that has tremendous profit in their life because they mixed it with believing. Now, this mixing is really great. It means to commingle. Has anyone ever baked a cake in here? Let me see the hands up. Oh, even the youngins. Jeffrey, you made a cake? Good for you, bro. All right, great. I never actually made a cake, but that's okay because I ate a lot of them. But you're supposed to, as you add an ingredient, apparently, you're supposed to mix that ingredient in throughout the thing, right? And then another ingredient, and you mix that in so that all of it is completely commingled, right? So picture your heart being the bowl, and you are hearing the word of God. You take what you heard and you mix it in your heart with believing. And then it gets into every part of your brain and heart. You don't only mix over here and not let it, you know, when you mix your bowl, you don't leave a chunk to the side where it doesn't get, right? A clump. You mix it up. Can you imagine if you made a cake and you didn't mix anything and you just put it all in the bowl and put it in the oven? What would you get? Did anyone ever do that? That, like, a dude that didn't know really how to make a cake but just threw it all in? Nobody?
Oh,
you didn't mix it.
I learned.
It's not good. You get a hot mess, right? But this mixing the word in our heart, it's such a great thing. It's to commingle. It's to unite. It's to cause several parts to combine into an organic structure, to unite one thing to another, and it does not let go. So in other words, once you mix that bowl of cake batter, try to separate out each ingredient again. Would you be able to do that? Would you be able to get the egg out or the vanilla extract or whatever else you put in there? Are you going to get it out? No, that's how believing should be in our heart. And then what are you going to get? What does it say? Profit. Profit is the asset, the usefulness, and the advantages. That's what you're going to get. And isn't that cool? You don't have to mix anything if you don't want to. But if you want to, you could mix this word of God in your entire heart so that it's commingled in every fiber of your heart and it just doesn't let go, that it just is in there for good. Isn't that cool? You got to mix it up. Mix it up. Mix it up. Isn't that great? So when when I was 15, and you know what's really cool is I was once all of your ages. And what's, I don't know why, maybe it's because I'm like a documenter. I like to take videos, I like to record things, I like to take pictures, as many of you know, my children know. Sometimes I take pictures of them brushing their teeth. But anyway, when I was 15 years old, it's like it was yesterday, I was praying for a scholarship to college because my mom didn't have any money. And she said, well, Dean, I could sell the house and get money for you to go to college. And this is where she lived. And I was like, I was beside myself, honestly. As a 15-year-old, I was like, oh, hell no. I will never let my mother sell the house to put me to college. So what did I do? I spoke in tongues and prayed and recorded it on a tape that I would be able to get a scholarship to college so that my mom didn't have to sell the house. And you know, believing doesn't have to be emotional, but it could be, to spark us on or whatever, to get us to a place where we want to believe and need to believe. And that's kind of what happened there. That was definitely an emotional thing for me, to consider that my mom would sell our home. I was like, where is she going to live? It was a whole thing. But I was like, no way, no way. So I spoke in tongues and prayed, and I went for it. I went for a full scholarship to college, and did I get it? Damn Skippy, I did. A 5-year scholarship, fully paid for. When I got the letter, or I got notified in school, my guidance counselor called me to the guidance counselor office. I thought I was in trouble. You know how it is. You're in school and you get called to the freaking office. You have to pass by the president or whatever, the principal. And I go in and he's like, you got a full scholarship to college. And I was like, yes. I went home and I was jumping on my mom's bed when she walked in to the house. I was jumping on her bed, which you don't do. Do you jump on your mother's bed? You don't jump on your mother's bed, but I was jumping on her bed. And she was like, Dino, what are you? Get down from there. And then I showed her the letter, which was really awesome. But that was God. And, you know, dreams come true by believing. And prayers come to pass by believing. So I want to read you this letter, okay? This letter changed a lot of things for me. And I told you last night that I decided I was going to do this when I was 13. And, well, let me just read the letter. Shut up. I wrote this in the middle of my last year of college, okay? Dear Jerry Carr, February 25th, 1992. God bless you richly in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This letter is to explain the heart behind my formal request. The request is, here am I, send me. Ever since I was 13 years old, I wanted to move out on God's word. I asked my father at the 1983 Rock of Ages if we could go into the Family Corps, but it was not available for us as a family at that time. Then after making a lifetime goal plan a few years later, I wrote that I would go into the Corps after college, but now that is not available. But to go WOW, so to speak, is available. I want to jump into the soup. For life to be exciting, putting God on the line for my life, either I'll live or die. And if God's word is true, then I will live, and I will live more than abundantly. I will believe God for everything this WOW year, rather than myself, parents, or friends. I love and trust God, and I expect to see signs, miracles, and wonders every day as I develop a deeper, more intimate relationship with God. I also want to learn how to live the basics, like doing the word, working a job, developing good habit patterns, and dealing with people. I believe the word will move over the world with or without me. But I want to be a vital part of this goal. I desire to see this year, to do this year properly so that I could grow 10 years in one. But most of all, I desire learning to let God show me how to run a fellowship. Building a fellowship from the ground up with all the spiritual growth involved, like getting over fears of people, learning the word by diligently building it in my life, loving and serving God's people, and developing leadership ability with the word. Then after these attributes are stewarded, I can then become the man I know to be, going as far with God as possible. Whatever God wants, I'll be ready because I will have taken the necessary steps one by one. I believe my calling means much more than just being a twigster. And we used to call fellowship twig. That's why I use that word. So I need to take care or to take this step spiritually in order to receive the green light on the next step. God is first in my life, and my professional career will be structured around the word. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I believe this verse, so to be a successful professional as a believer in the body of Christ, I'll do it. This will allow me to have more time and money to move God's word. I'm going to need your spiritual guidance and help in preparation and in bringing to pass these desires for a year. I highly respect your strong stand, your great leadership, and your tremendous love toward the body of Christ. I trust God and am confident that under your leadership, I will have an extraordinary WOW year. Finally, I believe God will bless me above all I could ask or think. So keep me in my requests and your prayers and lead me. I will follow. I love you. You are the best. In his service, Dean Mercado, P.S. Your counsel in the matter is greatly desired. C.C. Catalino Rivera and Steve Selezzi. And that's the letter I wrote. So the next time I saw Jerry, we met on a back porch in Jersey City, and he said, I can't send you alone. You have to find someone else, at least one other person. This is who I found. Abby and Zoe's mom. Lily. So, yeah. We move with God. And he honors our prayers. He honors our believing. And he'll answer them. He's not going to push you to or make you do anything, right? Has God ever made you do anything in your life yet? He's not going to. You have to want to do things. You pray and believe, and he will answer your prayers. He's not going to, you know, I don't know. He gave you his word. You believe it, and then you act on it. And this whole idea of building you don't have to go there, but you know in the love chapter in 1 Corinthians, talks about love. There's one part of that section that says, talking about the love of God, how it beareth all things and believeth all things and hopeth all things and endureth all things. And that's all things concerning God's word. The love of God, charity, the love of God, it enables us to believe all things, which is really awesome to think about, like, you know, because the love of God. So we schedule time in our life to pray. If you're so busy that you just run through your day without prayer, that's not good. You schedule time in your life to pray. And this believing thing, it really builds and from one step to the next. And, you know, as an architect, I'm telling you, I see it very clearly, but I don't know if I've communicated it properly, but, you know, God loves you. He loves you. And you believe that, right? And that enables you to accept that God sent his son to save you because he loves you, you see? It's like building blocks. He loves you. So you heard that he sent his son for you, right? You heard that. So you believe that he sent his son for you, to die for you. So you believe that God raised him from the dead, Right? That's what got you born again. So after you believe that he sent his son to die for us and to pay for all the sins of the world, then it's like, okay, now I know I'm forgiven. I believe I'm forgiven because he sent his son to die for me. So am I forgiven? Yes, I am. And then you know he sent his son to die for us and so that we could be forgiven and so that we could have spirit, so you know you're born again. That's the building. It's building. Then you absolutely know you're going to heaven because you're born again. Can you ever lose that? No. Don't let any religious person ever try to convince you you could lose that. According to God's word, I could show you in the Bible where they should be cut off. And you know what that means? To castrate them. And if you don't know what that means, you could ask somebody. But you absolutely are going to heaven, and you believe that. And then, because you believe you're going to heaven, and you're saved, and you're forgiven, and that you have Holy Spirit, you believe that you have Christ in you. That's the building of it. You have Christ in you. And because you have Christ in you, you have power. It just keeps building. You have power. And you know you could operate the nine manifestations because you have God and Christ in you. And you have power. And it keeps building. So then you accept and you're at ease because you don't have to be so anxious in this life. You don't have to have all this anxiety because you've accepted the word and you believe the word. So there's no real reason for anxiousness because you're a believer and you pray and you know God is going to help. So it doesn't rattle you so much. The world doesn't shake you to the core much at all because you know that God is going to be there and take care of you. And you totally can accept God's word in your life. You are what the word of God says you are. You have what the word of God says you have, and you can do what the word of God says you can do. And it just keeps building. It's so beautiful what God has done in his word to give us all of these incredible things, you know. Believing you will succeed gives other people around you confidence. You know, believing is contagious. You ever hear that? If you're worried and doubtful, the people around you are going to sense that, and they're going to be worried and doubtful too. But if you have great believing and you're confident, that's going to rub off on people. And that's really awesome. Things like this, it might sound ridiculous, but it's just how it works. Things like this control the price of the stocks on the stock exchange because of confidence or lack of confidence. It's pretty amazing. All boils down to beliefs. Disbelief attracts excuses. If you don't want to believe, you're going to have every excuse why you're right to not believe. You're going to just have many, many, many reasons why you shouldn't believe, and there are going to be plenty. There will be. But believing in your thinking will be constructive. You know the end game. You believe you're going to get there. How? You may not know, but that doesn't really matter. You just know the prayer is going to be answered. You know the end game, and that's really great. You know the end game of your life. You're going to heaven, and all hell can't stop you. It's great. So if you think it's possible that, or if you think it's impossible and cannot be done, your mind will prove why you're right. But if you believe, then it'll be so constructive and you'll figure it out with God, or God will just do it. You know, capacity, our capacity, our state of mind, it's what you think and believe. You can handle what you can believe to handle. If you could only handle this much in your mind, and that's all you believe, that's all you'll be able to handle. And anything else beyond that, you snap or you, you know, break down and whatever. But you could increase your capacity with believing. It's all based on how you control your mind. It's so great. People that are going through changes in life, like maybe living on their own for the first time, or getting married and having a spouse, or people that are married having children, you know, your capacity to do these things will increase with believing. If you think you can only do like this much, guess how much you're going to do? That's it. But if you apply the word and have believing and ask God for help, you'll be able to do however much you believe. Let's try and go all the way around. How big can you? How big can it? Ow! So I think that's pretty cool, you know. You know John 10:10? Who can quote it? Go ahead, stand up.
The thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I'm come that they might have life, that they might have it abundantly.
More abundantly, good job. Awesome, Ray. That's great. Confidence and trust, it's like positive thinking, okay? Doubt, worry, and fear is negative thinking. The adversary, he's the one that has an entire world campaign for doubt, worry, and fear. You know, that's just abundant in this world. But confidence and trust that God will bring his word to pass, that's what God promotes in his word. We've heard it so beautifully at this camp. And thank you so much for all the people who shared the word. Let's give them all a round of applause. And you guys who didn't get to teach at this camp, that's okay. You will share the word that you put together another time at a fellowship or one-on-one with somebody, and that's great. You get the most out of what you put together whenever you're going to share the word anyway. I told you that, right? It's great. You just don't allow yourself to believe negative things. You just shut it off. You know, you could hear 20 beautiful, great things and one bad thing. And if you decide to focus on that bad thing, who's the loser? You are, because that's what you decided to focus on. You guide your mind. You're in control. You drive the train of your mind. And you can think about what you want to think about, you know. I always wanted to be successful in my life, both in my spiritual walk and in my physical life, okay? Not everybody knows what they want to do when they're in high school, and I get that, okay? I prayed very specifically for answers on those things. And I was an artist since I was very young. I was in drawing and special classes. I went from grammar school, which is eighth grade, when, you know, different people have different levels of that, but eighth grade, I took a test to get into a high school, and it was called a high school for visual and performing arts. And there were artists there, and there was performing artists, singers and dancers and musicians. And it was an awesome high school that I went to. And I was there for the visual arts. I was an artist. And I realized every artist that I studied was dead for hundreds and hundreds of years. But while they were alive, they barely could afford anything because they were starving artists. I was like, I don't want to be a starving artist, you know? But I also love to invent things, like come up with ideas. And let me tell you, God just showed me art and ideas and inventing things came together and had a baby called architecture. So when I was 16, I knew that's what I wanted to do because I prayed about it and I asked God for help in that category. Now, architecture, one of the things that's required is you do need to get a degree. Therefore, I went to college. If I didn't have that need, I would not have gone to college. And if you don't have the need for a degree for what you want to do, then don't go to college. I mean, college basically today is completely run by the adversary. It'll indoctrinate you to question everything God's word says and leave you confused, naked, and wounded. And you will pay for it. You will pay a lot of money for it, or your parents, or whatever. You know, you go to college if you need to study what what God guides you to do. But you don't have to go to college, you know. In fact, a lot of these big entrepreneurs and people that have big companies, they could care less about college, a lot of them now. You know, it's pretty wild. But anyways, I wanted to just say that because I actually, maybe in your judgment I didn't, but I think I was successful and I'm successful in my physical life and my spiritual life because I own a company with Alberto Pena, and we, the most we ever had was 22 employees where we provided paychecks for them every week. And we've been in business for now 15 years in our company. And it's an amazing company that we compete with the biggest architectural firms in the world. Right now we're about 12 people or something. And we literally compete with other architectural firms that have thousands of employees worldwide. How? I have no idea. But the biggest architectural firms in the world know about DNA Architects, which is pretty freaking awesome. I don't know how long, much longer we'll have the company, but meaning whether we want it or not, but it's pretty awesome that because of believing in all the stuff we're sharing, that I was able to pursue my dreams. And who helped me? God did every step of the way. And I involved him in every step of the way. I mixed in my heart believing in all that stuff. You know, last night I found out that Jomar was healed again. I say again, but you want to just tell the story briefly? What happened last night? Stand up, face your people.
So like during the first teaching, I was like feeling really bad. Like everything was off. I was like lightheaded. I just couldn't do anything. I couldn't function. And then after the teaching, Nate, Viv, and Haley prayed for me. And then we got to the second teaching and I was completely healed. Like I was fine. Insane.
And you had a fever?
Yeah.
Just like Andres, you know? That's second time because last year he had a whole thing that was way worse. Eight-week diagnosis of mono, and he was breaking out in the sweats and all, and he got instantly healed. And it was so crazy because his mother was blown away. His mother's this Dominican woman that I met. And she, as soon as I met her, she was like, oh, that fellowship, yeah. And she was so blessed that he went to that fellowship, and she threatened to come to my fellowship even as a result. But he got healed in a day of what was supposed to take many, many weeks to get out of. And last night, same thing. That was just awesome. We don't try to believe. Trying, it's kind of like hoping where you never get something. We never try to do God's word, you know. That's like trying to be pregnant. You're either pregnant or you're not. And believing, you're either believing or you're not. And it's not hard, it's simple. Yeah. So I don't know what I want to say next, but there's a whole lifetime to say of stuff to learn from God's word. But I think we're going to wrap it up with two verses. One is Matthew 26:39, and the other is Romans 10:17. So let's go to Matthew 26:39. Matthew 26:39. Says, talk, and this is Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, and it's like the fullness of time for him. This was decision time to see what he was going to do. Verse 39, and he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. You know what cup that was? Being crucified. If he was God, this would be a joke. but he was a man with feelings, with emotions, with nerves, just like us. He felt pain. He had desires, and he gave his life. Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. That was his decision. That was Jesus Christ's decision. He not only sacrificed his physical life by the shed blood, but he also never got married. He never had children. He gave it all. And he did this with complete believing and trust that he would get up from the dead. He did not think, oh, I'm gonna die and then that's it. He did it knowing that he was saving humanity. He did it knowing that he would be accomplishing what God sent him to do. He did it in full believing. To me, maybe you could point out a greater example of believing, but I can't find one in the Word and in my understanding of the Word of greater believing than dying knowing you're going to get up from the dead. That's what Jesus Christ did. You talk about an example of believing? He went through with it, the crucifixion, and he believed he would get up from the dead. And you know he did 3 days and three nights later. That is the ultimate example of trust and believing God. And he did it. And so when we hear about the hope of Christ's return and us either being changed, because if he comes today, you're never going to see death. Wouldn't that be nice? Will you never see death or never die? But if he doesn't and we do see death, that we know we're going to get up just like our brother Jesus Christ got up. We trust and believe that. That's the hope of the great getting up from the dead and being gathered together with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's believing. Jesus Christ believed to the uttermost, and he's seated at the right hand of God, and man, we follow. We believe it as well. If that didn't happen and he didn't do that, we would never believe it. We would have never even thought it. We wouldn't believe it. But he did, so we can. Isn't that great? And we'll close in Romans 10:17. Kind of like the theme verse for this camp on believing. Romans 10:17. So then believing cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, Father, thank you so much for the word that you've given us, that we do take it as your word and not man's word. And Father, that we never let anything get in the way of our relationship with you. God, I pray for just sweet believing hearts of all of us here at this camp, from the youngest to the oldest of us, that our hearts are open to you and your word like a sunflower to the sun. And Father, I pray that right now everybody mixes this word into their hearts with great believing, and that it commingles in every nook and cranny of all of our hearts, so that your word is embedded in our thinking, so that when we think about things, we don't have to add your word to it, but it's already there. Thank you, Father, for great victories ahead, for great accomplishments, for great deliverance, for incredible answered prayer that's going to take place because of all of our believing. Thank you, Father, for this great family you called us to, that we could support each other and love each other. And Father, that we don't let things brew and things to come between us, but that we could continue to grow as a family with our hearts knit together in love. Thank you for that and for helping us do that. and for giving us life. Thank you, Father, for this camp that we were able to have here. We just thank you so humbly and so graciously in the name of our big brother, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, that's camp.